CBSi on the World. I'm John Belcher with Tom Jossman and Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. They are senior fellows. They keep the Long War Journal. I highly recommend the Long War Journal as a way to watch not only Afghanistan as it goes through a collapse, according to the Wall Street Journal reporting of its economy and the beggaring of its people. We will notice immediately because there are good lines of communication from inside Afghanistan to the refugees, the migrants who are outside of Afghanistan. We will have brutal reports of the poverty and the darkness that is descending on the people of Afghanistan. But we need to understand the leadership and the direction it can go. Tom, Bill mentions that you have written extensively, reported extensively over the five Taliban leaders who were detained and then they were at Doha. And now one of them, Zahir, is back in government. Is there any way that we can take Zahir's profile and speculate about where the Taliban is going, whether it's a transnational threat, whether it's a threat to the region, or whether now it's going to change its ways and lead as a government?
So Zakir is actually the sixth former Gitmo detainee who is now in the Taliban leadership circles, or either four of the former detainees who were traded for Bo Bergdahl in 2014 are now ministers in the Taliban's government. A fifth is the governor and coast, and now Zakir is a deputy minister. And you know, I'll give you one anecdote about Zakir's time at Guantanamo that I learned from several sources. This speaks to the failed war effort and how really pathetic America was during this whole 20 years in terms of understanding what was going on. When Zakir was held at Guantanamo, the Red Cross and some of the others who were representing the detainees and working with the detainees delivered to him the writings of Mao. And the argument was that Zakir could read these writings of Mao and this show that he wasn't really a committed jihadist because, well, he's reading the communist Mao, right? So he's not a jihadist. The stupidity of this, of course, is that Mao was the ultimate insurgent. And the reason why Zakir was studying Mao's writings was he's preparing for his career as a master insurgent once he gets out of Guantanamo. And of course, he's delivered these writings against the will of Joint Task Force Guantanamo, which oversees the operation. And so Zakir studies Mao during his time. He uses his time in American custody, in other words, in order to improve himself as a military commander. And then as soon as he gets out of Guantanamo, as Bill said, he's appointed a senior military position with the Taliban's command, showing that, of course, he was well respected all along. And eventually he becomes becomes the commander who's in charge of countering President Obama's so-called surge. So literally America let out from Guantanamo, allowed a guy, sidelined him, allowed him to train himself and educate himself on insurgency warfare, lets him out, and he immediately becomes the anti-surge commander for the Taliban's forces. And the reason why I say this is pathetic is because a lot of the narrative on Guantanamo, for example, is framed in sort of a hard left framework in which all these guys were tortured and they're all innocent. But when you go through the dossiers of guys like Zakir, he was never tortured and he wasn't innocent. In fact, he was just a senior jihadi who was detained by the U.S. The U.S. lets him go and he immediately gets back to killing on behalf of the Taliban and, in fact, Al-Qaeda, which he's closely allied with. And that story is much more common, actually, through the experience of Guantanamo over time.
And Bill, Sadr Ibrahim, what is significant about his new role in the government in Afghanistan?
Yeah, he was close to Mullah Omar, the founder of the Taliban, and Mullah Mansour, who was the second leader of the Taliban. He's probably one of the most effective Taliban military commanders, Zakir as well. They're on par. From 96 to 2001, he served as the deputy defense minister for the Taliban. So now he's the deputy minister of the interior. He's going to be playing a key role in securing Afghanistan and providing intelligence, and hunting down any, Islamic State, fighters who are going to, oppose the Taliban regime. Sadr Ibrahim was designated in 2008. By the United States, as well as the Terrorist Financing Targeting Center. That's a group of seven nations. He worked closely with the Iranians to get support including Iranian trainers to help give them, to help build up the Taliban's tactical and combat capabilities. That's a direct quote from the designation. He was the one who replaced Mullah Zakir as the head of the military committee in 2014. Then in 2020, he was replaced by Mullah Yaqub, who was Mullah Omar's brother. Probably not because Yaqub was probably named the defense, the head of the military commission, probably more because of his name recognition being Mullah Omar's son, as opposed to, you know, so the final victory would go to Mullah Omar's son as the military leader, more so than any problem with Ibrahim's skills as a military leader. Because let's face it, when he was replaced in 2020, the Taliban were ascendant. They positioned themselves for the takeover. Again, it's meet the new boss, same as the old boss here. You know, Ibrahim, like Zakir, top level positions, influential, decades of experience in serving with the Taliban, both in while it was a government and then while it was an insurgency. And it's just more evidence that the Taliban, not that we need it. Tom and I were convinced this years ago that the Taliban was going to rule the way it wanted to rule and not the way the West wants it to rule.
To your understanding, Bill, did Sadr Ibrahim ever spend any time in captivity, or has he been operating these years without that?
No, my understanding, he's never been in captivity that I've been aware of. He spent time in Pakistan, and I believe he spent time in Iran as well, although I don't have direct evidence of that, given his relationship with the Iranian regime. And there are reports that he had a falling out. He was upset with the Pakistanis for detaining Taliban leaders and things of that nature. So there's reports that he either was operating in Afghanistan, but very likely operating inside Iran for a period of time in order to establish that relationship.
I'm speaking with Bill Raggio and Tom Jostin of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. They and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal, which is an analysis of what we know about the government in Kabul and the Taliban's presentation to the world. Bill mentions the Islamic State. When we come back, I will ask Tom about the Islamic State as a threat to the Taliban, or what role it is now playing in the larger understanding of the Islamic State transnationally. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.